guys, welcome to a new edition of Fans of Wrestling Show. And Mike, we have a lot to talk about, so let's go with the somewhat bigger news of the week. Jimmy Snuka has been charged with the murder of his girlfriend. Now, I'm not sure about how much of the backstory you know, but what happened was back in 1983, his wife, his girlfriend died. And when they questioned him, he said that they were messing around and he accidentally pushed her and she fell, which is how she died. Well, when his autobiography came out, he was telling a story that someone said they were on the side of the road. She went to the bathroom, slipped, and fell. And two completely different stories. So the cops opened up the investigation and apparently found that there's enough to charge Jimmy Snuka. Now, he's recovering from surgery. A lot of people are saying that he's on tubes and he's not doing well. But if charged and if he is found guilty, he may very well spend the rest of his life in jail. And of course, WWE has since removed them from the Hall of Fame website and, removed all the Superfly merchandise from their from their store. What do you think about this?
Didn't they suspend his legend status too?
Oh, absolutely. So, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Snuka? And I mean, do you think he did it?
I'm not gonna charge anybody of guilt of anything. I wasn't there. There hasn't been a trial with all the facts, so it's really hard to be a judge and jury. But it does seem really suspicious that you would change your story. Like, if you were okay with telling the police initially that, I bumped her or whatever, however you want to phrase it, and she slipped and fell. If you were okay with saying that, then why all of a sudden when you're making an autobiography do you feel the need to change up your story? that does reek of suspiciousness. But I can't really judge and say, he is guilty or anything. I haven't heard of any evidence or anything. We haven't heard any testimony of witnesses who could contend that he had issues with his girlfriend or that there, was strife between them or anything. Like, we don't really know anything about if there's any volatility in the relationship or stuff like that. So, it's hard to really try to make a judgment and say, oh, yeah, he's definitely guilty.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that, this was 32 years ago, and now they're charging him. It's just mind-boggling to me that they waited this long to charge him with anything. So I guess we will see and what happens. Or let's go ahead and change the subject now and talk about something that's actually really cool. And this is the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. They've announced the brackets, and it's gonna be in the first round, the Ascension versus Baron Corbin and Rhino, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe versus the Lucha Dragons, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, who actually are getting a shot here at NXT, versus Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey, and Chad Gable and Jason Jordan will be wrestling Neville and Solomon Crowe. Now, for those who watch NXT, the Ascension lost to Corbin and Rhino, and Gable and Jordan defeated Neville and Crowe. So they've moved to the semifinals. awaiting the other two matches. And the finals are going to be on the NXT special on October 7th. What do you think of these, and who do you think is your favorite, Mike?
Clearly my favorite would be Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. But as much as, just from a wrestling standpoint, they should be the favorites. They're the top two guys in NXT right now. And as far as wrestling acumen, they surpass everyone else on that roster. So, there's no reason for them to not be favored. My one issue that I have against them winning is they're not tag team, people. They're both singles wrestlers. Finn's on the NXT title. It's like it just feels like by teaming up two of the top guys to compete and then putting them over in a tournament like this that's meant for tag teams, in a way, it kind of diminishes the value of the tag teams that they're competing against. As much as I like them and I feel like they should be the favorites, I don't know that it's necessarily in the best interest for them to be the winners of the tournament.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. And it could be any of them, but so that'll be interesting to just to see, though, what happens between now and then. And I think, it's kind of cool that they're focusing on tag teams in this way and giving them a shot. So, I think that is cool. So, I think right now Finn Balor and Samoa Joe are definitely a lot of people's pick. And it'll be cool to, if they were to win and do something with Balor and Joe. I think also now where they're still trying to figure out a clear contender for the NXT title. Because, do you think there's any clear-cut title challengers for the NXT title right now?
No. I'm just going to say that straight up. I like Tyler Breeze. I don't think he's ready. I would say Samoa Joe, but I don't feel like that's the intent that they brought him up for. I feel like they signed him to help build up the talent. So, to me, it makes more sense to give Finn Balor more time on the title and, have both of them continue to try to build up the other guys. The only guy that I would say could come in and straight up contend for the title would be Sami Zayn. But I'm not sure about you. I haven't heard anything about when he's going to be ready to compete again. So that's kind of up in the air.
So I think with that, because of that, I think this is a perfect time for, Balor to be in the tag team tournament, because really there's no clear-cut winner. There's no clear-cut challenger, and it gives them something to do in the meantime. So I really don't have a problem with that. So, yeah. And who knows? I would like to them to do this every year with the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. And things like this, I think, mean a lot more than random King of the Ring tournaments or Elimination Chambers that just, to me, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of things that make or don't make sense, the PWI 500 just came out today, Mike. And let me tell you, it's quite a bunch here. Let me read you the top 10. You tell me if you agree, okay? And I'm going to tell me your opinion on each one. I'm going to go from 10 to number 1. Number 10, Kevin Owens.
I like it. I like him a lot. It's hard for me to say if he deserves to. I feel like I need the full picture of the top 10 and, kind of
Okay. Number nine, Alberto El Patron.
You know, I like him, but I think that's high for him. A few years ago, like when he was first coming over to WWE, and like he was super hot in the indies, you know, I liked him a lot. WWE kind of killed his momentum. They didn't know what to do with it. Like, they gave him a gimmick that was just kind of cliched. And, you know, they, I don't know if it was creative, but somewhere in there, it felt like, because if you watch his indie stuff, you know, he was capable of doing a lot more than he did in WWE. And I wonder if, like, they had, if creative put restrictions on him, like, hey, we can't have you do this because it's not safe or whatever. But it really kind of limited his appeal to me in the WWE. I like what I've seen of him from Lucha, but I still just, I feel like it's high.
All right.
High.
Well, let's see what you have to say about this next guy, Rusev at number eight.
Oh man, that is. I think he has a ton of potential. Also, very overrated. There's a lot of guys. There are proper grammar. You know, there are a lot of guys who I feel like are more deserving of being that high.
Okay. This one you may agree. Number seven, Jay Briscoe.
I think that's deserved. You see his work week in, week out on Ring of Honor. The dude gives 110 every week, and he's got the skills and the talent and the athleticism necessary to for that 110% to really be meaningful.
Yeah,
fans love him. He's got the whole man up thing going on. I think that's a bit deserved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Number six, Randy Orton.
Oh, no. And I can't help but wonder if his ranking being that high is strictly based off of his popularity from the internet RKO memes. Because he stepped it up as far as being creative with his RKOs, but that's really the only thing that's really gotten any better with him. You know, like, he's a solid worker. You know, he doesn't make mistakes, but he's not an impressive worker. You know, like, you don't watch a Randy Orton match and come away overwhelmed by his wrestling ability or talent. And I feel like being ranked that high should be for people that you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And he doesn't wow me.
Well, I think this number five will definitely wow you. I know for sure he wows you. At number five, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes. Double, yes. The funny thing with Nakamura is, like, if you watch his stuff, even go back to the G1 Climax, he doesn't always bring it every match, which is probably that's probably the only flaw you could give him, is he doesn't show up for every match. You know, like, he wrestles to a lesser degree against lesser talent, but when he has a spotlight and he's up against top-tier guys, he is phenomenal. Phenomenal. His last two matches of that tournament were amazing. My favorite being, you know, his match against Okada, but the finale against Tanahashi was also a stellar match. Definitely like that pick.
All right, well, let me see what you think about this pick. At number four, Roman Reigns.
Gosh, shouldn't he be like in the 30s or 40s?
I mean, definitely. I don't think he should be in the top 20.
No, he's got potential, but he limits himself by being restricted to a cookie cutter moveset, which
right.
only takes advantage of his athleticism. If he could, you know, implement some really nice power moves, you know, if he did some, I'm not saying to steal other people's moves, like, you know, just an example, but if he did some cool stuff, like, you know, if he did something like Uhas finisher, or did something like, you know, even with Elgin, you know, like, it's just a powerbomb, but the way he does it, and it's just so ferocious, you know. It's, if Roman Reigns could do something like that, that actually demonstrating wrestling ability rather than pure athletic, because seriously, a Superman punch,
that right,
has zero to do with wrestling.
Yeah.
A spear is not a wrestling move.
I mean, right.
It's a football tackle. The person who made the spear popular was a former football player, Goldberg. You know, it's just the stuff he does most often, especially the moves he does to win matches, are not impressive as wrestling moves. Can they be fun to watch? Yes. Do they exhibit really good athleticism? Yes. But show me you can wrestle. It's called World Wrestling Entertainment. Wrestling is one of the three key words in there. I don't feel like you should be ranked that high just because you, quote, entertain. Because you don't entertain me, Roman Reigns. You don't entertain me. Get some mic skills, which should also play into the rankings because he has none. Get some wrestling moves, which should definitely play into the rankings, and come back and holler at me next year. That's how I feel about that.
All right. I think you will agree with number three, AJ Styles.
Always. The phenomenal one. There's a reason why that's his name. Because he is phenomenal. And regardless of the quality of talent he wrestles against, that's one thing that, you know, like, he didn't have the greatest climax run. But one thing that a lot of people praise him for, in his matches against inferior talent, he did more than anyone else, including Okada, Nakamura, Tanahashi, all those guys. He did more than anyone else to bring out the best of the inferior talent.
Yeah.
He makes other people, regardless of how bad they may be, look better. That's what you want in a talent.
I agree. I
hate to rag on him again, but that is something that Roman Reigns is incapable of doing. He doesn't make anyone look good.
Well,
except for himself.
Well, tell me then what you think about number two, John Cena.
John Cena. This is rough because he has, probably more than anyone on this list, he's been in the most impressive matches. Like, just quantity. He's been in the most impressive matches this year. Think about all of his matches he's had with Kevin Owens, his match with Bray Wyatt, his match with multiple matches with Seth Rollins. Like, he's been put in matches against the best of the best of the best on WWE's roster. Cesaro. You know, like, they keep Rusev. They keep feeding the top talent that they have to Cena, and it makes Cena look good. They're feeding guys who don't really need to be put over to Cena, as if he's supposed to help put them over, but all they're doing is helping put Cena over by having him sit on the U.S. belt for months undeservedly. But when you watch those matches, who does most of the work? Who's really impressing? Most recently, look at the champion versus champion match with Seth Rollins. Who did the most impressive work in that match? It was Seth Rollins by far. By far. And that's why, even though there were shenanigans involved in him winning, Cena still gave him props because he put on a great match. You can't deny that Seth Rollins didn't put on a great match.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I feel like more than anything, Cena has benefited from being the opponent of superior talent in the ring. And that's not to say that he's a bad talent. I would still have Cena in the top 15. He is a quality worker in every way. Mike skills, he's a quality. The only, that springboard stunner has to go. He makes it look bad, and it's a disrespect and disservice to Stone Cold Steve Austin. But other than that, he puts on solid matches with everyone he's up against. So, you know, he deserves to be, you know, top 15 type guy. but it's really, to me, the work of the other guys he's fought against that have made him look that good.
Yeah. Well, there is 500 men in this list and women, but there can only be one number one in the 500. Before I reveal the number one, who do you think was the number one ranked wrestler in the PWI 500 this year?
And you know him on Twitter. I know who the answer is. It's Seth Rollins, and it deserves to be so. Dude has worked his butt off every night, whether it be cutting promos, whether it's putting on stellar matches, whether it's solidifying himself as a top heel on the world's biggest promotion. He has really established himself as a top guy, and I feel like he deserves to be there.
Yeah, I think if anybody was most deserving of it this year, it definitely was him. I mean, ever since he got away from the Shield, the man has been 100% money. If you compare to Roman Reigns, who still has the same Shield look, who still has the same entrance and the same moves and the same everything, and then you look at Rollins and everything he's done on his own, yeah, with the Authority, but I mean, he's great on the mic, he gets over with fans, he's got a great moveset, and he's just on a roll. I mean, when was the last time that you seen them keep the belt on somebody this long?
It's been a while, and honestly, I feel like it should stay on them. I'm weary of people online constantly saying, oh, you know, they need to take it off them or stuff. Because, you know, like, there's too many casual fans and too many Cena lovers on the internet. That's a tragedy of life, that there's so many Cena lovers on the internet, but that's just how it is. But, and like, to me, aside from, you know, other people on the internet drive me crazy, something that I really worry about is the direction of creative. You know, like, it's just throwing Sting at him and forcing him to take up Triple H's battle. That was Triple H's fight, and Triple H didn't finish the job. Now suddenly, because Seth Rollins is the top guy and his statue that you were going to honor him with got disappeared, you're sloughing off your battle on him. To me, that's a douchebag move by Triple H. You know, like, I can't get behind that. But, you know, I feel like I can't help but think that this is more, you know, because there were hints of a potential rift with the Authority and Seth being outed from the Authority earlier, you know, like at the beginning of the summer.
Right.
And I kind of feel like this whole thing with him getting forced to take on Sting is kind of going to fall into that. I feel like Sting deserves or should win the title. Not now. I feel like if he had come to WWE years ago, he should have won the title. He would have deserved it then, but who are you now? Yeah, you're just a gimmick. That's all you are. You know, I love you for what you did, not what you're doing now. You know? Right now, he's nothing. You know, he's just an old-timer that they're bringing back to try to, you know, appease fans and make people happy. Like, he means nothing to the overall story. He's not helping to really put anyone over. Seth Rollins doesn't need to be put over. He doesn't need to fight Sting to look better as a champion. He needs to fight other quality talent for the championship and beat them to make himself look legitimate, you know?
Yeah. And
what?
Speaking of that, what do you think about the way that they've been using Sting this last few weeks and using him in the main event Raw after they literally just, you know, trashed him at WrestleMania?
I think it's terrible. Like, it's not consistent with what you already did. B, you know, I know we decided not to talk about it, but I can't help but feel like the plunging ratings play into their decision to try to drag him out there and have him be on more shows, because they're clinging to a hope that maybe, just maybe, if we bring out someone the fans remember fondly and throw nostalgia in their face, maybe more people tune in. But it's clearly not working. You know, I don't really get why they're doing this at all. The match that people always wanted was Sting Undertaker. Instead, they gave us Brock Undertaker Part 2, which really wasn't compelling. And, you know, like, now they got Sting going up against Seth Rollins, which doesn't really hold my interest either. Like, I'd rather see, you know, Sting build up some, you know, it's too early, but to start trying to build up a story for a match with Undertaker. And I'd rather see Seth, you know, have his rematch with Cena, put Cena away, move on from that, and focus on trying to defend his title against more worthy opponents like Cesaro.
Yeah, I definitely think that if you're going to bring him back, you do something else with him. Like, I liked how they were going to talk about putting him with Reigns and Ambrose against the Wyatts. That made a little more sense. It's like, you know, this thing, you know, aura is kind of gone. He's more like a nostalgia act at this point. And being the main event picture really just doesn't make that much sense. And I don't think that, you know, they're really going to benefit from having them on there. So, and like you said, with Rollins, he needs to be with equals. And I think that he's going to be doing more of the workload in this match and, you know, carry the match, carry Sting. And, you know, we love Sting, but
he's also carrying the build-up, because did you hear Sting's latest promo? It was terrible. Half of it didn't even make sense. Like, you had a battle against Triple H just this year, and now all of a sudden you're talking as if you're trying to take his side to bring honor to the title. That doesn't even make sense. Like, why are you taking up Triple H's argument? You know, like, it baffles me. It really baffles me.
Yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see. And I don't know, maybe, you know, it'll just be a one and done. Because I couldn't see them drag this for a while. I mean, you could potentially see them drag this all the way to Survivor Series, have Sting in Atlanta. But I just don't think that there's that much, you know, to benefit from this. And think about this: with the Raw ratings, they're going down and down. They were slightly up this week, but they're still trending down. And once football begins, and you know, it's just gonna do even worse. Because everybody's going to be watching Monday Night Football. And, you know, then the new TV season's coming up. And people are going to be watching more TV. Less Raw. Because all their TV shows are coming back. And I just don't know what it is. Because I feel see
like
that
the booking is wrong. Like, they have ample talent on the roster. But they keep trying to, you know, even though people are cheering for certain people, they keep trying to push up people that people don't like. You know, they keep trying to build up guys that, you know, aren't as talented. And they put them in positions where, you know, it just kind of depreciates the value of the match or depreciates the value of whatever title they can have. A good example. How many people do you know that really, really like Sheamus right now, if at all?
Yeah. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, he won the Money in the Bank. He won the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Briefcase, and has positioned himself in a spot where he could potentially try to take the belt off of Seth Rollins, who, whether you're cheering for him or not, he's getting the attention of the fans. Fans, you know, if they're booing him, it's because, you know, he's doing his job as a heel adequately. And if they're not, it's because he's an awesome worker and people just love him. But people are booing Sheamus not because he's a good heel. They're booing him because he sucks. And they're mocking him and making fun of him all the time because he looks stupid. And he tries to shade it, like, oh, you know, like, tries to play coy, like, oh, the Hawk is awesome. People aren't talking about your Hawk. Nobody complains about the Hawk. People complain about your dumb beard with your dumb beard braids. You know?
Yeah.
Trying to feign ignorance as if you don't know what's really the problem isn't making it any better. It just makes you more of an idiot.
Right.
And it makes you less credible to contend for anything. No fan's going to respect the WWE if they have him win the belt off of Sheamus. I mean, if they have Sheamus win the belt off of Rollins or whoever's on the belt at that time.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes Sheamus right now. But he's a prime example of like, poor booking.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like creative plays favorites to certain people, even though those people don't deserve it. Prime example, and this leads into something else I wanted to bring up, Nikki Bella. You're trying to push this women's revolution on us and make us believe that this is a legit thing, but Nikki has yet to defend her title for like 3+ months. How can I respect a title that isn't being defended? How can I respect a champion who doesn't defend their belt?
Yeah.
You're depreciating the value of the Divas Championship by not having it be defended. Just for what? To appease John Cena's ego? So that she can break AJ Lee's, you know, title reign record? That's retarded. She's a lesser quality talent than the other women who she's fighting against. But she's not fighting them in singles matches for the belt. She's fighting them routinely in tag team matches. And hiding her in tag team matches just makes it more apparent that she is not on the same level talent-wise. It's not to say that she's bad. There are much worse. But does she deserve to be on that belt? No. Should someone else have won that belt already? Yes. Do fans respect the WWE for keeping her on the belt? And, you know, no. And that's apparent by the fact that you have hashtag things better than Nikki's title reign trending on Twitter and on every other form of social media. You got memes all over the place.
Yeah.
Mocking her title reign. And if WWE creative hasn't gotten wind of that, then they're completely ignorant and they pay no attention to social media as much as they love it. And they don't really, if they don't make a change, then they really don't care about what fans think, which really sucks. And it that's more reason for ratings to go down. If you don't care about what we think, you don't respect the fact that we believe that someone else deserves to be on the Divas title more than Nikki Bella, then you're a bad promoter. You know, you're putting up bad matches that we don't want.
Yeah, and I think also not only that, but if you think about the overall quality of the matches they're putting some good matches at some points in the shows, but my biggest thing is they don't advertise anything. I'm like, if you know, Mike, that Kevin Owens is going to fight against Cesaro, you're going to tune in. But they don't tell us ahead of time, and they expect us to just watch and hope that we're going to see something good. And most of the time, it doesn't feel like that's the case. You know, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you're not giving me a reason to tune in. You really are not. And then when you do give us something, it is like you're throwing the bells in our faces, and it's not something we want to watch. But
I mean, I don't think Team Bella is all bad. You know, I
it's only 2/3 bad.
I enjoy seeing Alicia Fox. You know, and I thought she had a great thing going when she's doing the whole crazy thing and she did the press conferences. It was amazingly entertaining. And then they stopped doing the post shows and they stopped having the press conferences, and we stopped getting to see that window into her character, which really limited her ability to try to shine as a solo diva. You know, and in the meantime, they continually push Nikki and Brie in her face. They get promo time. They get to talk on the mic. They both suck at it. They get to wrestle in the important matches. They, you know, they're like, oh, we need to have women's matches that last as long as men's matches. I'm sorry, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella don't deserve 15-minute matches. You know, you give me Paige versus Charlotte. You give me Becky versus, you know, Sasha. You could give me any variation or combination of those women, and I watch 20-30 minute match. I'm not going to tune in for a 15-minute Bella match. Neither one of them are good enough.
Right.
You know, one of the things better than Nikki's reign memes on Twitter. If you do the search, if you search that hashtag on Twitter, one of the things in the list. Somebody posted an animated GIF of a time when Brie got down on all fours to set up Nikki for a splash in the corner. And Nikki runs, steps on Brie's back, and then falls face first into the lap of the person in the corner. Like, she failed at doing a splash. And that's better than Nikki's reign, because at least, as bad as it is, you can make fun of it, you can laugh at it, and it's entertaining. Nikki's reign is just a mark against the company.
Yeah. I can't wait for that to be broken. Do you think Charlotte's taking the title?
If she doesn't, fans should riot. There's no reason for Charlotte not to win. She's so... And honestly, that match shouldn't even be competitive. That match should be like Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. You know, that first matchup at WrestleMania, everybody's like, if this is competitive, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, and it's just bullcrap. And then we got what we wanted. We got to see, for the most part, most of the match, with the exception of Undertaker using weapons, Brock dominated Undertaker, and that's how it should have been, because he's just that much better, and everybody knows it. It's the same thing with Charlotte. There's no reason in any way, shape, or form that I should ever believe that Nikki, in a one-on-one solo match, should ever be able to contend with her in any way, athletically, technically, in anything. She doesn't touch the hem of Charlotte's robe, and everybody knows it. So if that match is even competitive without Nikki showing that she's improved greatly in a really short time, because she is not that good right now, then I'm going to be greatly disappointed. And if Nikki comes away with the belt, I'm going to be even more disappointed.
And if Nikki wins, would you call the Divas Revolution a failure?
I'm kind of bordering on saying that now, just off the basis that even though we've gotten plenty of entertaining tag matches involving women that we like and respect as wrestlers, in this entire time that they've been propping up this revolution, the belt has not been on the line. Ever. To me, that's a failure.
Yeah. Because it feels like things are still the same. Nothing has really changed. The bells are still on top, which is what the problem was from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, enough about the bells. And let's take a break from WWE now and talk about something that's happening here in the Southeast this Labor Day weekend. And PWX is having a 16-wrestler tournament. So anybody in the Winston-Salem area or within any mile radius that you feel like driving or flying, it's going to be Friday. They're going to have first an event called Pure. And then on September 5 and 6, which is Saturday and Sunday, they're going to have the X16. So 16 wrestlers. Mike, I'm going to give you the lineups of these matches. Some guys you'll know. Some guys you you probably don't. So just give me the gist on what you think about the matches I will, or the people you do recognize. First, Tommaso Ciampa versus Caleb Konley. Ciampa's gotten to wrestle a couple times in NXT. Konley, we've seen actually here in Atlanta in tag team action in AWE. This should be a really entertaining match. Two really good workers here. One of them looks like it's going to be WWE bound. Next match, the Swerve, Shane Strickland going against Andrew Everett. And
that's going to be fun.
That is going to be an amazing match because these two guys, their biggest thing is they're two of the best high flyers in the country.
Very athletic.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm not sure.
Neither one of them is who I would peg for the most athletic tournament.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how high their roof is, but it's got to be pretty high for these two guys. And, you know, this is I think, one of the matches to see. Now, the next match, Jake Manning versus Ethan Case. Don't know much about those guys, but sounds like it might be entertaining. Then,
hope so. I don't know them either.
Next match, Trevor Lee versus Tim Dunst. Tim Dunst, I don't know, but Trevor Lee, man, you know, he's been here in AWE before. He's, you know, he's been wrestling all over North Carolina and across the country. He's now, as of yesterday, TNA Tag Team Champion. He's also in the roster for Global Force. He's part of the Invasion from Global Force Wrestling on TNA. So, I mean, not bad for a guy who, you know,
making some positive career moves.
Right. There. Absolutely. I mean, he's everywhere.
We made dog out TNA a lot, but, you know, at least if you're on TV, you're on TV. And that means something.
Yes. So, yep, that should be fun. Trevor Lee, man, I love to see the guy. I wish we could see him again here in Atlanta. And who knows, maybe we will. Next match, Ricochet versus Moose.
It's a contrast of styles.
Absolutely.
But Ricochet is the guy I would peg as the most athletic in this field. Dude is a supreme athlete. Very fun to watch. And Moose is just a beast.
If I could say that of all the guys that we've mentioned in this that are in this tournament that I've mentioned so far, from all the guys, at least all the guys of Ricochet's size, he is the most ready to be somewhere like WWE. Sure, he's in Lucha Underground under a mask, but man, he's ready for big time. He's right now, he's probably right now my favorite wrestler in the indies.
That's big praise, man.
So, it's just, he's that good. I mean, I haven't seen a match of him that has sucked. So, pretty darn good. And Moose, you know, he's athletic, you know, there's the hype, you know, people, you know, I see what people are saying, but I still think he needs some work. I think this will be a good challenge for him.
Yeah, some of this, like, while we're on Moose, like, I like him, and he's fun to watch. And seeing him when he was in town for Ring of Honor was really fun. There's something that bothers me with Moose, and, you know, I love him. He's a phenomenal talent, athletic, fun, you know, plays to the crowd. But, you know, if you're going to claim you're the best at something, you know, and to me, when you're saying you're taking people to Dropkick City, you're saying you're the best dropkick in the game, then your dropkick better be the best in the game. And it's not. You know, it's not even the prettiest. It's not the cleanest. You know, it's not the most ferocious. Is it, you know, useful? Yes. Is it, you know, good, yeah, but it's not nearly the best. Personally, Okada has the best drop kicks. His drop kicks are flawless. They're beautiful. I think Moose would do himself a great service if he studied some tape, you know, and worked on cleaning up his drop kicks. And as you mentioned, he's got some other things he could probably work on too, but I'm just like, if you're trying to claim that you're sending people to a certain place, you know, like, Suplex City, everybody associates that with Brock Lesnar, but his suplexes may not even be the prettiest. That might go to, you know, honestly, I might go Chris Benoit, he who shall not be named back in the day, but his suplexes are the most ferocious. You fear for the life of whoever he's suplexing. I don't feel that when I'm watching Moose dropkick somebody.
Yeah. That's why I think he still has some work to do, but I think, you know, in the future, he can be a big star. Now, the next match will be Kenzo's own Chip Day, going 1-on-1 against David Starr. Mike, if you have not watched David Starr wrestle, go on YouTube. That's David Starr with 2 R's. This guy, pretty darn good. Chip is not going to have an easy time with this guy. So, and we know what Chip can do. So that's going to be, I think, probably to me, this match has potential to be the best match in the first round, but it's going to take some work. But I think that this can be the sleeper for some people. Then we have Gunner, the modern day Viking, formerly from TNA, going 1-on-1 against Zane Riley, who we've also seen in Atlanta before, Caleb Conley's tag team partner. So again, Gunner, man, huge guy, great moveset. I mean, he's another guy that's, you know, WWE ready. I mean, he's been in TNA. He's done the TV thing, but I think that there's still a lot more for him to do. Zane Riley, I mean, he's a big guy, entertaining. So it should be fun match between the two. And then the last match is a more interesting one because it includes Tessa Blanchard, probably one of the, you know, one of the most popular indie women wrestlers. She's going to be in the tournament and she's going to be facing the winner of a entrant match, which will be at the Pure Show on Friday. So she won't know who she'll be fighting until tomorrow night, Friday night. So, but that's going to be interesting that she's in there with all these guys.
Think she's going to win?
I don't think so.
Not the whole tournament, but like at least a match.
I mean, I think she'll get, I mean, yeah, I think she could win. She's good enough to win at least the first round match, but it all depends on who the first round opponent is. But that's going to be interesting. Mike, from all the people that I just mentioned, who do you think is, you say you're picked to win the tournament? From, I know you don't know everybody here, but we had to pick one. I'll give you two. If you had to pick two.
I think I'd go probably Ricochet or Gunner. And not just because they're two of the bigger names, but because they're just like complete packages. They're more of the complete package. Like, I like Shane a lot. I would throw him in too if we're doing like three potential, but I like Chip, but I don't know that he's going to win. I could see him making it to the quarters or semifinals. But, I just don't see him winning the tournament. But Ricochet is just amazing to watch. I have a hard time seeing him not make it to the finals. Gunner's really good. Moose, just off his sheer popularity with like people who keep up with like Ring of Honor and indie stuff, you know, you might prop him up because he's a physical freak. You know, it's really hard to pick just one guy because some of the top level guys that we know of are really good.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a good tournament. I agree with you. My picks were also Ricochet or Gunner. And I think that either one could win it. Actually, I would love to see the two of them in the finals. I think that would be very, very interesting. So once again, it's a weekend of wrestling for PWX in Winston-Salem. First, the show Friday night, Pure. Then Saturday and Sunday, the X16 two-day tournament. It's going to be really great. The card's really good. And it's going to be really interesting. Mike, if it wasn't 5 hours away, I would have gone. I think it was within 2 hours. Three tops. I'm telling you, pack the car, put gas in there, and driving away I go. Book a motel. I'm there for just 2 days. Unfortunately, 5 hours plus. This weekend, it was just not going to work out.
Yeah, I would enjoy it, but I have to work this weekend.
So I'm hoping to see a DVD coming out of this. They might actually get my money for that.
That'd be fun. I will be there at your living room to watch it.
Yeah. So, Mike, talking about DVDs. You know, the Scenic City Invitational happened a few weeks ago. Well, now, for those who missed it, for those who weren't able to watch it, for example, I was only there for night two of the tournament, but I didn't get to see the first night of the matches. Some people didn't get to see either night. Well, they're now on sale. Who Wrestling is selling these. You can either buy the two set DVD or you can get the video on demand online. So check out Who Wrestling. That's WHOO Wrestling on Facebook. Their link will have all the information there on how you can get the CDs for this. I got my copy already. And I'm planning to watch it this weekend. Going back and get to watch the first night, which I missed, and get to see the second night a little better. I was taking a bunch of pictures, so sometimes taking pictures, as you know, Mike, can take away from being able to enjoy the action. So I'm just gonna sit down and watch two nights of a great tournament, and span over the weekend. Scenic City Invitational was great. It was held at the Empire Arena in Roswell, Georgia. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Great price. I think $15. They have a deal going on. So definitely check that out at Who Wrestling on Facebook to get your copy of the matches from Scenic City Invitational. And before we close out, Mike, I think we need to talk about what just happened on Sunday. Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment here. Very, very surprising turn, let me say, with Chip Day. Of course, Chip has been battling against the Hierarchy, as they call themselves, for over a year now. And, man, it is now that Chip has turned on his best friend on Siler Cross.
Well, for those that weren't there, you know, explain how it went down. Like, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, well, Siler Cross and Iceberg of the Hierarchy were having a brutal match. They were just going at each other. And then, you know, when it looked like Siler was getting the upper hand, Murder One came in and attacked Siler. And then Chip came to help his best friend. And
or so we thought.
The Hierarchy retreated. And before we know it, Super Kick City was in full effect. He gave him, what, like 3 or 4 super kicks? Can't remember now. Knocked him out and joined the hierarchy. Out comes Jimmy Rave, approving of all this. So, Mike, what do you think of this? And let me give you a moment to get your thoughts together. Because we did send a request for to Chip to tell us why he did this. And we actually got a quote, which I'm about to read. From Chip Day. People are asking why. I'm tired of seeing the business, the sport that I love, being failed. Guys, 5 years in, that think they're owed everything. Kids, 2 years in, that think they are on my level. I did it because I'm tired of my business being ruined and invaded by former collegiate and pro athletes that couldn't cut it in their sport. So they come into mine to make an easy buck. I did what I did because I've been breaking my back for pennies for years, while these kids go straight out of wrestling school with a handful of matches under their belts, are getting invited to special camps at performance centers. I did this for me to be the thing everybody is talking about. But most importantly, I did this to put myself in a position to make pro wrestling a great sport again. That was a direct quote from Chip on why he turned on his best friend and why he joined the hierarchy.
That is rough. This trying to digest that, like, in one sense, some of the things he's saying ring true. You know, like, it's a terrible tragedy that, you know, wrestling is not well respected as a sport, you know, or even often as a form of entertainment. You know, just wrestling does not get the props it deserves. There's a lot of hardworking wrestlers who are really talented and put on really great shows, and they don't get the visibility or the attention the guys who aren't as good, don't have the technical acumen, don't respect wrestling. And I see what he's saying. I mean, like, how many guys, we could probably look at the WWE and point out a handful of guys that, you know, like Ryback. You know, like, you trying to tell me Ryback is better than Chip Day? You know, because he's on the biggest promotion in the world? Does that mean he's better than Chip Day? I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, not at all.
He's Slater. Is he Slater? Does he touch the hem of Chip Day's robe? No.
Does Roman Reigns?
No. But because of either their heritage or, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, they've garnered the attention of the people in the largest promotion, and, you know, you have. And honestly, WWE has its influence everywhere. And that's one of the things I respect and really appreciate about AWE is they're not trying to be like WWE. Sure, because it's wrestling, there's similarities because it's wrestling. But they focus more on the wrestling. They focus more on giving us entertaining matches in the ring. They focus more on giving us characters that we can care about. You know?
Absolutely. I get that point. At the same time,
do you
think there's bitterness there?
Well, of course there's some bitterness. And, you know, if it was you or me, like, would you feel any less bitter? You know, like, if you, your dream, you aspired your whole life to try to achieve, say you want to be a comic book artist, and you want to work for Marvel and create comics. You know, and you worked your butt off, and you drew some of the most amazing artwork. Your artwork was stellar. Your speed was really great. You could turn out pages and panels real fast. And yet they give, you know, comic book jobs to guys with inferior quality artwork, guys with inferior quality characters and stories. Wouldn't you feel disrespected?
Yeah.
It's understandable, it's relatable, but it's terribly misguided. You know, just thinking from an emotional and intellectual perspective, it's like, is it right to sell your friends short, to turn your back on your friends for the sake of getting attention on yourself? You know, because you've been overlooked for so many years, is it right to hurt people who love you? I don't think so.
Who trusted you, who were willing to fight with you side by side. You know, I mean, because
how many times have we seen Silas Cross and Adrian Armour come out to defend Chip Day in the past against the hierarchy?
But now he's one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, for reasons that make sense, the tactic is very, very wrong. It's just, and the thing you have to think about, it's cowardly. It kind of goes along with the old adage, you know, Bugs Bunny used to do it all the time. You know, like, if you can't beat him, join him, you know?
Yeah, and definitely.
That's kind of what he did. He couldn't beat Jimmy. Tried numerous times, couldn't beat him. Wasn't good enough. You know, eventually, I guess he got tired of not being good enough. Well, took it into his own hands and switched sides.
Yeah, that he did. And I'm telling you, I mean, the reaction that people had at the quad on Sunday was definitely interesting. And more interesting because there was a specific fan that had a very big problem with the fact that Chip, you know, turned his back on his friends. And this fan posted their thoughts on Facebook, and you know, there was some foul language in there, and of course, this happened during intermission. So, you know, with social media being getting around as fast as it does, the hierarchy got to read this post. And when Murder One came out after intermission, he had some words for the fans. So now let's take a listen to what Murder One had to say about the fans' comments.
So all that stuff you just said on Facebook, that's how you feel? Yep. Huh? Yep. Answer me when I'm talking to you. That's how you feel? That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. Because whatever we want to do is what we do. We ain't got to ask you, your bitch ass, or your bitch ass. And definitely, I ain't got to listen to you. Because without us, ain't none of this.
So, yes, so we just heard the interaction between Murder One and the fan who, you know, was upset that Chip had turned on his best friends, and you know, Murder One did not hold anything back. And you know, hey, if anything, you can say that Murder One was loyal to his friends by sticking up to them and to Chip for the decision that he made. Mike, do you think? I mean, of course, we know Murder One knows no limits, but was he right about, you know, confronting this fan about what they expressed for how they felt about Chip's turn?
I'm going to quote the chick with the blonde hair in The Matrix and say, not like this, not like this. It was uncalled for. It overstepped the bounds. Like, it's one thing to interact with fans, you know, if a fan says something, you know, say something smart alecky or snarky back in return, or, you know, even like, you know, the occasional flip the bird, or, you know, like some of the guys do. You know, it's one thing to do that, you know, everybody takes it as being all in fun as part of the show. But the things he said is really visceral. And she's, this fan in particular, isn't even of age. You know, like, it just, to me, it oversteps the moral bounds. And I feel like, you know, it would serve the company pretty well to try to rein him in some. You know, sure, he can be entertaining because he's got quite the mouth. But is that all he is? You know, I mean, think about it. Like, I mean, he's kind of the voice of the voiceless with the hierarchy. You know, like, how often do we hear Iceberg talk about anything? Never. Talks with his fist. How often do we hear Jimmy talk other than some snarky remarks during matches? Rarely. You know, I mean, he'll cut an interview after winning the championship or something like that, but, like, you know, and even of late, Chip hasn't been very talkative other than this quote that he gave you. And it's you know, who it's always Murder coming out to the ring and then picking up the microphone and just yelling at people, often on the other members' behalf, you know, and it borders on the line of personal, you know, making it very personal with fans oftentimes. Like, he says some very demeaning things at times, you know, and sometimes we just take it in stride, oh, you know, this is entertaining, but you gotta wonder, like,
is it really?
Yeah, I mean, what about that person? That girl is a person. She has feelings, you know. I mean, if I remember right, didn't it eventually lead to her mother saying they were never going to come back? You know, is that helping the company to have confrontations that lose your fans? You know, like, one has to question the methods. You know, like, going back to what Chip said in his quote, you know, it's, you look at the motivation, you know, that in their minds, they're trying to clean up the sport. They're trying to make the sport more respectable. And that motivation is very respectable. But the method, what about the method? Can we respect the method? Are they overstepping boundaries with their method? You know, where's the moral obligation to try to put together a show that you know, I'm not saying it has to be PG, but if you're not going to at least be family friendly, at least try to respect the families that are there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, but then again, you know, it's like
one thing real quick, that is not to say that what the fan said was right at all either. You know, she played her part in it. She said some really foul stuff. Also, you know, and so as a fan, you know, and it's something we've talked about in the past. I don't know if we've talked about it in the podcast, but we've talked about it personally about how, you know, there is, as a fan, you know, being, just because you pay a price for a ticket doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want. You can't go in and say personal mean things to somebody in the ring to try to offend them just because you don't like them. You know, like, that's not right. You can't, you know, be racist just because you paid for a ticket. You can't jump over the railing and try to stab somebody or punch somebody or whatever just because you paid for a ticket. Like, there is a decorum that even as a fan, you have to abide by. And in the same turn, it goes both ways.
Absolutely. Now, we also reached out to Murder One for a quote. And of course, he had something to say, and he told us regarding this fan. And so this message is really to anybody who has a problem with Murder One or the hierarchy. He said, "Don't say bleep to me if you don't want it back tenfold." You know, with that, I think, man, that was short and sweet, saying, hey, if you can't take it, don't dish it, you know, and don't give him a reason to, you know, for him to come at you. And, you know, I mean, was he right for what he did to, you know, talk to a fan like that, someone who paid money to enjoy the show? No. What was the fan right in, you know, using the words that were used in the Facebook post? No, I mean, but at the same time, you know, we were all trying to just enjoy a good show. Mm-hmm. And who knows, but let's hope that we don't see this again. You know, I've even been trying to talk Mike Williams out of trying to, you know, get involved with Murder One.
Okay.
Because you never know, one day Murder One may just snap and get his hands on Mike, and, you know,
or any fan,
right? So,
and what a tragedy that would be, and how badly would that mar the company to have a fan, you know, even if they said something really derogatory, to have them, you know, get harmed by one of your performers? That would be terrible.
Yeah. So the message to the fans from Murder One, you know, don't say something and not expect that he is gonna get back to you with that. And man, that was definitely interesting coming out of the, you know, the Follow the Rabbit show for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. But, you know, we're gonna get to see the aftermath on September 13th when we watch Tales of an Arabian Facebuster. Sabu will be in the building to face Murder One. That is going to be a brutal encounter, I'm hoping. Then Jimmy Rafe defends his title for the second time against superstar JT Dunn. Mike, if you have not seen this guy, check him out. Facebook JT Dunn with two N's. If you check the match, JT Dunn versus Chris Hero, you will not regret it. This guy is going to give Jimmy Rave, you know, a run for his money. And, you know, I think, you know, as good as the Cedric Alexander match was, hey, this match could get even better. And then, you know, then we're going to have seven guys go get in there in the ring for a chance to get a title shot against either Jimmy Rave or JT Dunn, and much more. So that's definitely, you know, something if you're in the Atlanta area.
Lucky Seven Scramble.
Right. If you're in the... Well,
big news from that. Adrian Armour will not be able to compete due to having sustained an injury at the hands of Chip Day. But he was replaced by Cedric. So how great is that?
That's going to be very good.
I love Adrian, but, you know, if he's not able to go, what better can you do than to replace him with a top-tier talent like Cedric Alexander?
And not only that, but of course, Siler is out with a concussion. He will not be able to be in that match either. He's getting replaced by Sugar D, who we haven't seen in a few months. You know, it's kind of like, finally, you know, Sugar is coming back to Atlanta. We've missed him a lot. He was definitely entertaining. We haven't seen him since To Be the Man, so that should definitely be a very good match. And so if you're in the Atlanta area or willing to make the drive to Atlanta, the show's on September 13th. Tickets are now on sale. Go to AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com for a way to buy your tickets. Get them. They're selling fast. And it's going to be a good show if you like good wrestling. Mike, any last thoughts before we go home?
Yes. If you have the internet, You got $8.40. Sign up for NJPW World this weekend, Road to Destruction.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be... Dana, is there a main event that we should tell people
it's,
about?
It's a tournament, so... And
okay.
Another main event, so they... So they get to it.
Nice. I mean...
But they... Some of the guys on the card, you know, you got Shinsuke Nakamura, you got Okada, you got Tanahashi, you got... None of... They're not advertising any of the guys from Bullet Club, but still, some of their top-level Japanese stars are just...
Yeah.
Stellar and well worth watching.
Definitely. That should definitely be a great show as well. So definitely get it. It's definitely worth every penny. And you know, you can get enough translation to get through the signing up and using the features. So get it today. And don't forget, following us on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Yellowmaniac. Mike is M. Brummagen. We are FOW Radio. Make sure you also listen to us on Podbean, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.